Thank you, Diane. That was wonderful. All right. If you look over our calendar of events coming up this week, please make note of those that pertain to you. Also, we have several announcements. I'll read a few of them. Help is needed around the church for several property projects that haven't been completed yet. So they're posted out on the bulletin board. So if they see you or your family can have some time to help out, please let Cal know. Also, there's sign-up sheets for summer scripture readers and for special music during Sunday services. If you would like to have any questions about special music, please talk to Amber. Are there any other announcements we need to make this morning? Go.
Please blankets on Saturday from 10 to 3. You know, let's go help.
Okay, fleece blanket tying on this coming Saturday from 10 to 3. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay, let's stand and greet one another. Oh, sorry.
Done.
You're back in church again. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. All right, let's stand and greet one another in Christian fellowship, and we'll follow that with our opening hymn, number 17, O Worship the King, verses 1, 4, and 5.
Well, good morning, Dewey.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Top notch again. As always. How was California?
It was wonderful. It went too fast.
Always does.
Yeah, I know. It was good. That's a lot of people in church today. That's pretty good.
It's nice to see. My mom's here.
Oh, she is?
Yes.
That's nice.
Our move went well last weekend.
Really? Good, good, good.
I moved her out. She's in the plaid shirt right up front.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah,
she
has decided to come out here.
That's kids. Right. I'm so happy she did that. My mom lived in California and never wanted to come. She almost did, and then I couldn't talk to her.
Yeah, we moved her out last weekend as well as in service. I took Friday and Monday off, so we'd have a five-day weekend.
Good.
We went out Friday, packed up, loaded up Saturday and Sunday, and came back.
Where was she living?
Vermillion, South Dakota.
Oh, my gosh.
We're on the other side, almost 600 miles from here.
Holy cow.
That was a long day coming home.
Yeah.
Because U-Hauls don't go that far.
What's that?
Oh, moving my mom out. Well, she's here. We have a house offered and accepted, and now it's in front of a judge with probate to see if the sale can go through.
That's
she's staying with us.
Good. So did she get, did you guys rent a big U-Haul truck or something?
Two of them.
Oh, my
gosh. 20-footer and a 16-footer.
Wow.
Terry, my wife, drove the 16-foot. I drove the 20-foot with a car trailer behind it.
Whoa.
And my mom drove her van. So we had like a convoy coming out.
Oh. Well, you have a house big enough for all the stuff?
She's probably going to have to downsize for that.
Yeah.
It was 1,300 square feet, and she was in 1,700 with a big two-car garage. Now she is over an attached one-car garage. But it's all one level.
Yeah, that's
all one level.
Hey guys,
I suppose we got to do that. We're sitting here visiting. Please join me in the call to worship. Come to me, Jesus invites.
We come to you.
Come to me if you are tired.
We come to you.
Come to me if you carry burdens.
We come to you.
Come and discover rest for your souls. We come at the Lord's invitation. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, your will be done. Anoint us with a spirit that proclaims your kingdom here on earth. Sanctify the words we hear today through sermon, song, and prayer to be your words of truth and healing. Complete your prophetic vision for a holy and righteous world in all we say and do for your glory and honor, as we pray how Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Glory be to the Father. Now please be seated. Done this a few times, you think I'd get that order right. Our hymn of prayer today is Spirit of Living God. You find it in our chalice hymnal on page 259.
At this time, all of our children can be excused and head down with Maggie Grooms for Children's Church. Our card shower this morning is for John and Sharon Lansing. They are relocating to Sheridan to be closer to family. So today was the last day. They were at chapel this morning, and then the chapel group had a fantastic brunch this morning with lots of good treats, and there's still some left over downstairs. So, but please take a moment of your time and fill out a card wishing John and Sharon well. They have certainly been a big part of our congregation and will be missed in the choir as well as in the Sunday school classes and out and about. So, and I am sure that if any of you get the opportunity to go to Sheridan, they would be happy to receive a phone call or a visit from them. Share a couple joys to share. Mackenzie Grooms is back in church this morning. That's always great. She always brings a smile on everybody's face. It's also nice to see Nick, Maggie, and Ted and Jennifer. But well, we're real happy to have Mackenzie back because she always makes everybody kind of drool over that. Another joy to do is we have the Oil City Slickers with us. We'll bring us our music this morning. So thank you very much for coming, and we look forward to that. Prayers for people that are in treatment on the back of your bulletin there. You can see in treatment for cancer, Craig Brandon, Cal Decker, Mark Steinle, Henry Iverson, Billy Triplett, Colleen Zagan, Kent Newbert, Dave Baker, and Ann Klaxim. You'll see the others with health and other concerns as well. Our community and world concern is the missionary Judy Chin in Hong Kong. And our prayer partner is the staff at Bustard's Funeral Home. You know, that has to be one of the most trying jobs in the world is that you deal with death on a daily basis. And to try and provide comfort and care to everyone who comes through those doors is a huge responsibility, and I'm sure they would be appreciative of your prayers. Are there other joys or concerns out there today? Paul. All right. Debbie.
One of our Santa recipients had a heart attack on July 4th, and she just needs some prayers to recover. Her name is Angie Adams.
Prayers for Angie Adams as she recovers from a heart attack. Prayers for the Sean Dorman family. They were involved in a car accident this week. A little girl is down in Denver in the hospital. The father and son are still in the hospital up here. Are they out? Okay. So prayers of sympathy and comfort for them. Raul? Okay. So prayers for comfort and healing for Raul's 17-year-old nephew who had a fireworks accident, and prayers for his brother for guidance going forward in life. Jane. Kalinowski family just recently had a new baby that is struggling for life, so prayers for healing for the baby, prayers of comfort for the family. Other joys or concerns? Dave?
Dennis, we had a joy to share. The move last weekend with my mom, bringing her out here, went quite successful. Had a few adventures, but we made it safe and sound, and she's here in church with us today.
Fantastic, fantastic. So prayers of joy for Dave having a successful move and an adventure along the way, but getting here safe and sound and having his mother here today. Any other prayers? Charles.
Cindy sends greetings from the General Assembly in Indianapolis. gave the opening worship last night and heard it was wonderful. So she says things are really going well, and she is appreciative of the congregation supporting her in going there.
Very good, very good. Pastor Cynthia is back at General Assembly. She left on Thursday and will be back this Thursday.
Friday,
and she'll be back on this Thursday in that. But she got a chance to hear Jose Morales speak last night, who was our past regional minister, apparently delivered an excellent opening sermon. And they had a new welcoming dinner for the new...
The outgoing one.
Haven't had the one for the new one yet.
Officially.
Okay. Anything else? Other joys, concerns? If not, let us take this opportunity to reach out to God. O gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity as we welcome new people into our congregation. We're so thankful that they have the opportunity to come and worship with us this morning. We are saddened by the loss of John and Sharon leaving our congregation, but we know that your will be with them as they move to Sheridan. We ask that you continue to provide health and comfort to both John and Sharon through this move. And we know that we can always reach out to share our joys and their joys with us. We ask for your healing hands to touch Angie Adams and the family that was recently involved in the car accident. We ask that you give the doctors knowledge and care to take care of the young ones. We ask you to give patience and comfort to the family. We ask that you give comfort to the Kalinowski family as they struggle with the joy of a newborn, but the fear that the newborn may not live. We ask that you place your healing hand on that newborn, but we know your will be done. We ask for guidance for all those who are struggling with troubles in their life, that you provide them guidance as they go forward, that they may see the light and understand that good triumphs over evil. We ask you to be with Raul's 17-year-old nephew as he recovers from a firework accident. Lord, we know that your power is strong and great. We ask you to bless each and every one of us as we go forward this week so that we may share your love and your care with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as children come running when called to dinner, so do we come to this table. Just as children hear their name and run to the table, so do we hear Jesus calling each of our names, calling each and every one of us to come to the table to eat and to drink, to share our lives as a family shares laughter and tears. So come, eat, drink, and be filled in the name of Jesus. All who seek God's love and Christ are invited to share in the Lord's Supper. During the summer, we serve communion by intinction. Please come forward by the center aisle, take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, then return to your seat by the outside aisle. If you prefer to remain seated, you will be offered communion in your pew. Please place your tithes, offerings, and prayer cards in the trays as you come forward. Join us now as we sing our communion hymn, O God, Unseen, Yet Ever Near, in our chalice hymnal on page 399.
As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup. And after supper said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink in it, remembrance for me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Almighty God, ruler of the universe and giver of the breath of life to each one of us, we give thanks for the bread and cup. We remember Jesus and his willingness to give his life for us. With the promise of eternal life, we ask your Spirit to guide and direct us. With renewed commitment, we leave this table to live in such a way that we may be more pleasing to you as our God. In Christ's name, amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring these offerings to your service. Guide where they go, that they might be used to bring new freedom to those who feel bound. May these gifts be a proclamation of our love for you. Amen.
At your door, let me And the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Oil City Slickers. Our two passages today come from the book of Job. I offered to Dennis that I would read the whole book of Job, but he said no. So we're going to start with Job 1, 1 through 5. You'll find it on page 453 in the Old Testament, and then you can put a finger in 488, because then we'll be going to 42. But to begin with, 1, 1 through 5. There was once a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold feasts in one another's houses in turn, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the feast days had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This is what Job always did. Now, to number 42, 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes."
All right, a little test. Am I on back there? We're good. Okay? So, we're going to talk a little bit about Job. You see, what kind of happened was I had asked Pastor Cynthia if she was kind of doing a series as she was preaching through this time period. And she sent me back an email and said, "You know, I'm kind of searching for what I'm going to talk about, so feel free to preach about anything you want to." And that, which kind of put me in a little bit of a panic because I didn't have anything that I thought was going to come to me. So I searched and I searched and I searched. And finally I came up and I said, "You know what? I'm just going to talk about Job." And Job's an interesting book in the Bible. And the fact is that the first and the last part are kind of set out in prose. And the rest of it's all poetry. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I was okay through the first like chapter and a half, and then we got into the poetry and I kind of went, "Say what? I don't understand this. I'm having trouble." So I kept going back and back and back and reading it. I've been working on this for 2 weeks. Every day I'd sit down and read a section of Job, especially in the poetry part of the deal, trying to figure it out. So finally, about Thursday, I think I got kind of the story right. So here's the book of Job according to Dennis. So it starts out, God's hosting the Tuesday night poker group. He's sitting there, he's got the little green visor on, you know, the see-through visor on that. He's got big sacks of chips because the chips are people. He's got all this. And the other angels begin to come. You know, here comes Gabriel in and everything else. And in with the angels walks Satan. Now, to me, Satan walks in and he's kind of like the guy when you look at the poker tournaments on TV. He's got the black t-shirt, he's got the cap, the sunglasses, you can't see his eyes. The bling going on. And God says to him, "Hey, Satan, where you been?" Satan says, "Oh, you know, I've been walking around Earth down there, kind of in that Georgia area. I've been willing to try and pick up a few souls down there because I've been willing to make a deal because I'm a little low on chips." So they sit down in the deal, and Satan says to God, "You know, this is pretty easy pickings for me. I can do just about whatever I want to do and people will come to me." And God says, nah, you know, I don't think that's quite right. He says, no, I'm willing to bet a hand if you're willing to put something up that's of real value. God says, you know what? I'm willing to take that bet. So he reaches in the stack of his chip way down in the bottom, and he pulls out a chip and throws it on the table. And it's the chip of Job. Now, Job is a righteous man, well off, has 7 sons, 3 daughters, 500 sheep, 1,000, you know, he's got all kinds. He got 500 donkeys. That's a lot of donkeys. So if you put that in the words today, he's got like this 7-bedroom home. His kids are all doing extremely well. They've all got real nice homes around there. He's got 3 cars, a pickup, an SUV, a boat, 4 snowmobiles, 3 4-wheelers, and a summer home. And that. So he's doing really, really well. And he says, but this guy's righteous. He's an upright man. And Satan says, yeah, but he's got all that stuff. And that makes him that way because he has all of these material things that make him good. It's easy to be good and righteous and joyous in God when you have a full amount of blessings, right? So, long comes that they deal the cards out. So they're laid out on the table. And Satan flips his first card over. It's the 4 of death. Now remember, in the book, God says you can do whatever you want to Job, you just can't take his life. So the 4 of death card is a card that signifies that somebody's going to die, but you're going to get notified like 4 different times. So it's not a quick message to you that somebody died or that these people died. It's like a continuous deal. So the hurt and the pain continues to come. So he's notified by 4 different people that, you know, the house blew down on his kids and killed them all. They robbed and took his camels and his sheep. The sheep were burned up in a fire. So all of a sudden, he has no assets. He has nothing left. There's him and his wife. That's all they have. Now, Satan thinks, I've taken all of his worldly possessions away. He will curse God. I know he will. Instead, Job goes, strips off all of his clothes, shaves his head, and blesses God. He's suffering, but he still blesses God. So Satan says, I need to play the next hand. So he flips over the next card. The next card is the sore card, kind of like the Joker. But he's covered with, all of a sudden, Job is covered with boils from head to toe, on the bottom of his feet, everywhere. He has no relief whatsoever. And he goes out and he rolls around in some ashes, just trying to get some kind of relief out there. And the pain is excruciating. But he still won't curse God. He still blesses God for his presence. And Satan goes like, this guy's a little tough to crack. But he says, let's just let it continue for a while. So he continues to suffer, and the pain is excruciating, and he cries out because of the pain. Now, Job's wife kind of goes Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Jersey and like, dude, you need to just curse God and commit suicide and get on, because none of our friends will come over because you look so bad. We've lost all of our possessions. I've lost all of my kids. It's not worth it. Curse God, commit suicide, end your suffering. And Job says, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So they go along, and when they, he says, well, I got to play some more cards. So then he plays the cards of his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they pull up on their camels and their donkeys and their that, which would be basically their Harley, their Porsche, and their big SUV in today's world. Okay? So they pull up, and they walk in, and they take a look, and they go, So what happens is they don't say anything for a while, like 7 days. 7 days, they don't say anything. So it's like the elephant's in the room, but you're not going to say anything, because if you don't say anything, then it's okay, right? We've all been there where there's something going on in our lives, and that, and people walk in and nobody wants to discuss it. So you look and try and find other ways to do stuff. So you wander around, and that you may do the dishes. You haven't done dishes in 25 years, but you decide that you know where the dish soap is and you go do the dishes. Or you wash windows and you hate washing windows. So you do whatever it takes not to talk about it. And finally, Job reaches out to his three friends. And he says, you know, I'm just not certain what's really going on here, but God is good, and I believe in God. I believe that he does the right things. And being Job's good friends, the three of them said, whoa, dude, you really messed up somewhere down the road. And one of them talks about how he must have, even though he'd reached out and helped people, that he didn't understand the pain that those people were actually in. So he really wasn't getting to understand them. He was just doing something on the outside to look good, to give his reputation something better. Another one talks about, you need to go back and take a look at your life because you did something really bad in that. And you need to declare that you've done something really bad and plead for God to take away your pain. Because that's the only way you're going to get out of here. And the other one agrees with him. He just says, you know, hey, you're in bad shape. You need to do something to relieve your pain, and you better hurry up and do it because I don't want this spreading to us. Because we got things to do. And Job says, you know, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but you're not really helping me out. You're not making me feel better. You're not here to support me. You're here to try and justify what's going on in my life so that you look better. So they have this huge discussion amongst the four of them. Job, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz. And, you know, that's part of all the poetry part of the deal. So, I don't know if that's kind of like rap today or whatever, you know, that they were rapping back and forth, you know, on each other and getting the songs right and all that kind of stuff. But they were doing something. And then Job has another friend show up, Elihu. Elihu plays first base on the baseball team. Elihu? And he looks at him and he says, yeah, you got something wrong. You did something really bad. You need to just repent and tell God. So Job's not getting any support from his friends. He's not getting any support from his wife. He's lost all of his worldly possessions, and he's covered in sores from head to toe, and he's been rolling around in ashes for over a week. And the pain's not going away. Nothing's going right. Now, he doesn't curse God, but he begins to question God's knowledge of what's going on, wondering why God does certain things. Why does bad things happen to good people and okay things happen to bad people? We've all done it. We've all questioned about why things happen to us, in that I'm a good person. I do the right thing. I go to church. I help people. I give to the United Way. Everything should be right, but something bad happens, and the first thing that I usually do is end up saying is why is this happening to me? Right? We've all done that. And we've all seen people who we know are bad people who seem to be okay to get off where it doesn't make any sense. And we question, why is this happening? So Job even asks for an intermediary to try and maybe start up a conversation between God and him with somebody doing the translation, because Job says, I just not thinking I really understand what's going on here. I'm not cursing you, God, but I am questioning you. And Satan is kind of sitting back there going like, I'm close. I'm real close. This is about to be mine. And this is a huge chip in the game of life, because Job is an upright and righteous man. And if I can break him, well, I can get a lot of souls out of that, because people will see what he had, what was taken away, and how easy it will be to come over to Satan. And Job is resisting. He's resisting his friends. He's resisting his wife and cursing God, of denying God. But he still has some doubts. He wants answers. He wants knowledge. So God comes down in a whirlwind. And he says, so, you think you know quite a bit, do you? Job says, well, I've got knowledge. And then he hears it. Ding, ding, ding. And the Jeopardy board's up behind him. Okay? And God says, we're going to play a little Jeopardy here. Categories are evolution, creation, Adam and Eve's relatives and family. All those things. So he begins to question God, or God continues to question Job. And he asks him all these questions, and Job finally is kind of beginning to understand that maybe he doesn't have as much knowledge as what he thought. And that maybe God has way more knowledge than what he has. And that Job's probably not going to have as much knowledge as God ever. And so he begins to kind of see what's going on. So the question then turned from, why is this happening to me, to what is in store for me? What is God's plan for me? And God feels like Job is getting it. So now Satan's turned over all his cards. He's got two pair. And he says, there's no way he's going to do it. God quickly flips over all his cards. Straight flush. Job wins. He beat the devil at his own game. Job, rewarded by God, got twice as much as what he had before. End of the story, right? That's kind of what I thought. I thought, you know, okay, I get it, you know. He beat Satan, he stayed loyal to God, now he's rewarded for the deal. But on Friday afternoon, I kind of got the gist of things, was that, you know what? Job didn't understand that he was just a stake in the game. That it's not about us. It's about God's overall plan. See, God can stop our actions anytime he wants to. You know, if you're hungry for ice cream and you don't need ice cream, the first thing you do is you go like, I'm going to go have ice cream, and then you find out Dairy Queen's closed. God can do that. He can shut it down. He can shut the ice cream machines down. He can make the coffee pot break. He can do whatever it is to change our way. But that's not the actions that he's really looking for. What you have to understand is God has a master plan. We're not in control of our lives. We're part of his lives. And while on earth, you may not get double possessions, but as long as any time an adversity comes onto you and you say, blessed is the Lord, for he is with me always. When you get to heaven, you will have twice as much as what you have here on earth. That was the story of Job to me. I appreciate you taking the opportunity for me to share it with you. Thank you. Thank you. Our closing hymn today is number... I've got to get my glasses on here. Number 610. We invite anyone to change their membership by confession of faith or baptism or transfer of the membership. If you want to accept God as your Savior, feel free to come on down. We'll be happy to give you the right hand of God. Let us stand and sing hymn number 610, Living for Jesus. Yielding allegiance, glad heart and
Prepare to receive the benediction. Lead us as we journey throughout this coming week. Keep us, Lord, from sin and temptation, so that our path may be straight and holy for you. Amen.
Well, my mom and dad are gone.